Thanks for being a blessing. And you're welcome again. And happy Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. Happy everything. And what a blessing to just live in this day and this time. Because with the greater the challenge, the greater the victory. The greater the obstacles, the greater the overcoming. The greater we need to, the farther we need to stretch our faith, the greater the manifestation of the goodness and the glory of God. I'm not going to start preaching just yet here, but I'm just, you know, I'm just thankful we've got a lot of people out, and it's what a, you know, awesome. It's a blessing to be able to visit family and all of that. So we've got people out today visiting family and all that. And the team that went to Nigeria, they're actually back. They're back. Yes. Woo. Let's just give God a hand. Let's give God a hand. And you know, I was talking about just, you know, praying over Nigeria a few minutes ago. And this Easter, I'm just declaring, pardon me, you can still hear me though, right? You know, just declaring over that nation a turnaround. I'm saying thus far and no more. It's gone on forever, right? There's just, you know, just the security and all of that if you're been paying attention to the news. But in all, God kept the people that went from here, they're back. They would have been here, they're just resting. It's a long trip, right? It's a long trip, and they're resting, but they send their greeting. Pastor Femi and Remy, I believe Barine is back here as well. Where is she? Oh, there you are. Come on, Barine. Yeah, you shouldn't. come up. Yeah. That's why she just sat there hiding. Can we just give Barine a hand here? You are welcome. Yeah. No, I'm going to give you the mic to say something, right? Yes. To sing? I said say something. Or sing. Sing.
Hello, everyone. It's so good to be back. I got back on Sunday, so it's been a week. And to send you greetings from the church in Lewe and from my mom and my dad. And we just had a great time. It was such a blessing to be able to be there and to be able to praise God. You know, to think about it, that there was a time that people couldn't gather, you know, because there was bullets flying and people were running for their lives. You know, as you go through the town of Lewe, you see houses that have been burnt down, you see abandoned buildings, you still see the bullet holes. And through it all, God kept us. He kept our house. Like, two houses from us was burnt down, ours was safe. The church, God has just been really good, and it was just a privilege and an honor to be there with my family and just to lift up the name of Jesus in that region. So thank you so much for all your prayers, and I'm sure that when the rest of the team gets here, they will share some about what has happened, and it just was awesome to be there. We had a team from the States as well that came as well, and it was just great. God is so good. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks, Barine. Yeah. Is there a tribe? Yes? All right. I thought you guys were just going to hang out for Easter here, but if you want to go Tribe of Zion, please go. I think they're probably all gone. Oh, there's still some here. Okay. And you guys have fun. So, woo. So I'm just going to pick it up from where it started here. Yeah, so with the greater the challenge, the greater the victory. And when it looks like everything's down and you're out and at a dead end, it's an opportunity for God to show his strength and to show his greatness. When you've lost all strength and there's nothing else that you can do and you feel lost and down and broken and disappointed and battered, it's the end of the line for you, but it's the beginning of the deliverance that God is about to bring your way. Because when that happens, we realize that we have nothing else to give and that we're empty and that we cannot help ourselves. And at that point, we're almost like the guy who is at the Y, just swimming in the pool, and he thinks he's a fantastic swimmer, and he's drowning and he's struggling, and the lifeguard says, "Hey, I can help you, but you got to stop just flailing all over the place." And he keeps going till he's out, and they wait till they're out. Otherwise, you take the rescuer with you, right? Then they bring that person up. At that point, you're helpless. But we've got help in the Lord. The Bible says, some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but our help is in the name of the Lord. Our victory is in the Lord. Our deliverance is in the Lord. Our miracle, our turnaround is in the Lord. Are you not glad that the Lord has not put you in charge of your own deliverance? He has not put us in charge of our own turnaround. That is why when we're in those situations, it's not time to start looking at our failures. What have I done? Because it's not dependent on what you've done. It's dependent on what he has done. And we know that. Years ago, I don't know, thousands, how long was that? That God, seeing that we were separated from him, seeing that we were helpless, we had tried everything that we could. If you read the Bible, right from Abel and Cain, man just striving, fighting, hurting each other, trying to bring each other down, trying to tear each other apart, trying to destroy each other. Sacrifices, goats, doves, turtles, or turtle birds, whatever they're called, right? Sheep, turtle doves, yeah. Not turtles, but turtle doves. Sheep. We tried all of that. We had to go in month after month, week after week, year after year. The high priest had to go in through to the Holy of Holies once a year, lifting, sacrifices and bringing blood to appease things. We tried that like forever till God said, enough. I want to help these people because they are my people. And he sent his son in Christ Jesus to come down here and pay the sacrifice once and for all. Once and for all. He fixed it once and for all. And when he came down here, what did we do? We beat him. We battered him. We broke him. And then said, hey, it's done. But after 3 days, the very life of God that is indestructible. When I was talking about life this morning, the life of God is indestructible. The life of God is the essence of who God is. It is indestructible. The life that we have, that God has given us, is indestructible. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be contained. That is why once that life came back to that body, it started a displacement in the soil, if you do geography, and resulted in an earthquake and shattered the tomb, blew the stone out. Jesus did not need that stone out of the doorway to get out of the grave. It was the life of God that blew that thing apart. The stone came out because we needed access. We needed access. And we needed to see. They needed to see for sure that, that there was nothing in there. The life of God is indestructible. This morning, I'm just going to go over my notes here, but that's in a nutshell. The coming of Jesus, or the giving of Jesus by God, means many things to many people. The revelation that we have of the coming of Jesus determines what we get from it and how we see it. To the Israelites, and where I'm speaking from this morning, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's from Matthew chapter 2. Matthew, if you read from 21 right till 28, the Gospel of Matthew, and it's in Luke as well, Luke chapter 20, the crux of this. So, Christ came in, you know, during this week. There's a lot of celebration going on. There's Easter, we've got a holiday, and, you know, Easter has got its history. People, you know, I could just stay here and tell you why or why not to celebrate, and we can talk about Easter eggs and bunnies and all of that stuff. And then there's Passover. I believe Passover started on the, what's today, the 15th? Yesterday, and it goes till the 10 days. So, and this, well, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but the meal is Passover, right, and all of that. And, like I said, what we get from the coming of Jesus, everything it went through, depends on the revelation that we have. Now, this morning, you know, we're celebrating. I just remember growing up, man, and I'm sure it's still like that. I grew up in Nigeria. And we're just really mellow here, right? Easter is something else. Gifts. I knew it, during Easter, there was one thing I could just count on. I got new shoes and an outfit. That happened every year. You can go ask my dad here, right? Just got that every year. And yeah, lots to eat. There was rice. Rice and chicken. Yeah. You know, lots of that and all of that. And the celebration and all of that. And it's good. Right? And you know what? As an adult, or even this year, I told myself and said, you know, it's a time to be joyful and all of that and that and do all of that. But I sit back after a while and I ask myself, the sacrifice that Christ gave us, not only the sacrifice, that's only half the story. The other part is he didn't just die, he rose, right? That cross is empty. The tomb is empty. The rock that covered the entrance was blasted off. And I ask myself, what he paid for, how much of that am I walking into? How much of that am I walking in? So as an adult now, my gift on Easter or around that time is asking myself, you know, after just, you know, celebrating, wishing everyone a happy resurrection week and happy Easter. And I've not done a lot of that this weekend anyway, but I need to. It's not too late, right? But asking myself, am I cashing in? And I know that's probably a very selfish way to look at it, but am I walking in the things that Christ suffered for? If I'm not, it's a waste. Right? It's paid. We know we're heaven bound. We're going to heaven. We've got everything that we need to get to heaven. And that's all well and good. But here on earth, there's still a lot of things that we need to walk into. So I ask myself, how much of that, you know, am I walking in? How much of those things that I did? How much of the revelation that I know of the death and resurrection of Christ am I engaged with? Right? Is it just about going about my day or just engaging with that? Right? So I ask myself that. And just briefly, I'm just going to not run through my message, just run through a few things here. And about, you know, looking through the Bible and when that happened, how people responded. The first set of people I want to look at here is just the general, regular person that lived, in those days. And if you read Matthew chapter 21, starting from verse 8, Jesus went out and he told he was going to go out and this is Palm Sunday, by the way, which was marked last Sunday. And he asked his disciples to go get a donkey for him to ride. And then he rode and went, and I'm just paraphrasing here, that's on the screen, and you can just follow my paraphrase and change the verses. So he rode and went out, and as soon as people saw him on that donkey, nobody told them. They just realized, hey, there's something different about this guy. And again, he had done miracles. If you read Matthew, he had just healed two blind men. So they said, hey, look at this guy here. You know, this is the guy that probably the scripture wrote about that was going to come here and get the government in Isaiah. Remember, we quote the scriptures in December for Christmas, talking about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor and all of that. And they said, that is the Messiah. That is the King that God sent. See what he's doing. And at this time, they were under the oppression of the Romans. And they thought, this surely is the person that God has set to deliver us. And they brought out their clothes, laid it in front of the donkey, went and caught branches. I don't know if they caught palm trees, but that's apparently what we do. But it says they went and caught branches from the trees and laid it down, and that donkey rode on it and all of that. So that was one way that they saw him. But now think about it. In Matthew chapter, going further down, chapter 27, verse 22, it was the same people that were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. So what changed? It's revelation. Earlier in chapter 27, Jesus was arrested. And they're like, oh, this guy was healing the blind and all that. We thought he was just going to come here and just overthrow the Romans and all of that. But they've arrested him. He's probably not powerful after all. Right. Plus, if you read Matthew 27, 22, it also says that the chief priests and the elders, they went and convinced the people. That means their knowledge of Christ did not go from here they did not have revelation of who Christ was or what he came here to do. So they were easily maneuvered. So the same guy that said, Hosanna, come save, and that's what it means. Come save us, your salvation, you know, praise the name. Then they went, hey, crucify him, do away with him. Because, hey, maybe that's not the guy, we're looking for another person. And I was saying, when we come to a dead end, to an absolute last, when we have nothing to give, that's when God starts. That's not the way it has to be, right? But sometimes we just struggle and fight and all of that for just a lack of revelation, thinking that the outcome of our lives depend on our strength. And it is not. If the bride that God has prepared and the priests and the sons and the daughters of God is prepared, if he left their ability to do what he wanted them to do to themselves, we would fail woefully. But God is better than that. He's better than that. He supplied us his strength to do what he's called us to do. Second set of people, I don't want to stay too long. I said I was just going to roll through this. Was the priest and the teachers those days. And we already talked about what they thought, right? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, is king or is the son of God? Why would you call yourself the Messiah? How can someone call themselves the son of God? Again, revelation. If they had studied the scripture enough, they would have seen in Isaiah chapter 53, everything written about the Christ. But they probably also thought, hey, this guy didn't go to theology school. We did. I spent 4 years studying the Bible. Why would this guy that just showed up from no place? And all of you know, Jesus lived 33 years. And only 3 of those were spent going around as Jesus. Well, going around and doing miracles and coming out proclaiming himself. The other 30 years, he was locked away, hidden, right? So they're like, hey, this guy, he started just going around with this ragtag team 3 years ago and is calling himself the Messiah, right? He doesn't even have a master's in theology. I've got a doctorate. What you got, right? Right? So how can he call himself the son of God, right? Well, he doesn't even speak Christianese. He doesn't know a lot of scriptures. He doesn't know Greek or Hebrew or all of that. You know, why would he call himself? Look at his disciples. They can barely speak good English. You know, look at them. They're all Nigerians. No, there's no way. Right? You know, and they're looking at qualification, but lacking revelation of who Christ is and what the scripture said about him. The other thing they did was doubt. So they knew the scripture's there, but they didn't think that was going to happen that way. And don't we do that sometimes, figurative? When the Bible says, I am your healer, I am Jireh, I will provide, I will make a way. We say, oh yeah, you know what, God will make a way, but not physically, he's making a way spiritually. God does things spiritually and brings them to bear on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and then we limit the Lord and explain things away instead of just holding on to his word and trusting him for what he said he will do. Who else reacted? Even the disciples, we know what Peter did, you know, when Jesus started talking about his death. He said, no, that will not happen to you. And he says, you will deny me. No, I will not. And then when they came for Jesus, taking the sword and slicing off someone's very X-rated, right? Just doing that. And all they did, they knew the Lord, but they did not know the Lord. Because they had their own idea of who the Lord was. And what happened again after he died? Mary, and I'm not casting any blame game here. I'm not telling you guys, if I write a catalog of my own life, you probably see some of those things in there. But Mary, in Luke 20, after he died, right? They're like, okay, yeah. So they arrested him, like, ah, don't worry, that guy's gonna get out. Houdini, right? That didn't happen. Then it went to Pilate, even the government. If you want to see politics here. So Pilate in John, he said, hey, this guy is innocent. But rather than release him, I'm going to give you this other criminal. You choose between Barnabas and Jesus, right? And they chose the other guy. And he knows, hey, why would you let an innocent man go to die? But he's like, ah, that's what the people want. Let's just give them, right? That's, you know, that's how politics and government and people deal in high places. And that was Pilate's response to him. Just gave him over and he died. And after he died, he was on the cross there. And he's, oh man, this guy's just going to escape and come down. There's no way he ends this way. But then, he died. You know what happened once he died? The Bible says he let out a voice, a very loud voice, and say, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. And what happened? In the Old Testament, like I was saying, once a year, a priest would go into the Holy of Holies. There were three compartments. I don't want to make this all preaching about, otherwise we won't leave here, about the temple and all of that. But the people couldn't go to God himself, so they will sacrifice and everything and give that to the priest. And the priest will step in. He could only go in once in a year, and there were rituals he had to do to cleanse himself and all that too. And he would go into that place behind a curtain. Nobody else other than the high priest had gone in there. But when Jesus died, guess what happened? It's a veil, and you can just read that. So I've got the scripture here somewhere, so I'll give it to you. Maybe just read at home. I'll give you when I find it. I'm sure that's in I'll give it when I find it before I hand it. But when he said that and when he gave up, that veil, the curtain, was torn from the top right through the bottom. It was not a hole. It went that way. And the one place that nobody could step into prior, God opened the door once and for all. He ripped it. He ripped it. It wasn't like, hey, he just parted slightly. He ripped it. And before, all we had was just a glimpse and we were staring from afar. And when he ripped it, he created access to the goodness and the glory and the grace of God. He created access to a freedom. He created access to life. He created access to deliverance. He restored our dignity. And this morning I declare to you, everywhere, everything that has brought shame to you, dignity cometh. It is here because it's one of the things that Christ restored to us. Now we are able to stand before God unashamed, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. We can stand before him unashamed. The Bible says we can enter boldly, not timidly. We're not coming and saying, oh, you know, Lord, maybe if you will. No, we step in boldly. Now, that's all, you know, the perspective of people to that. What was God's thought? What was on God's mind? Covenant. 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 And God is saying, I am going to live with this people. They will know me. They will be my people. They will have the same life that I have. I'm going to breathe my life on them, the indestructible life of God. I am going to make them partakers of my glory. I am going to make them partakers of my goodness. I am going to make them separate, distinct from the rest of the world. There will be people that I've called unto myself for my name. That's what God was thinking when he sent him. And we see types in the Bible. We see Abraham and Isaac, and how God had Abraham sacrifice Isaac. It's a type of the sacrifice that God did with his own son and gave Jesus, right? And we see that. And he gave one and got many sons unto himself. So we are direct descendants because of the blood of Jesus of God. God birthed us himself. Have you seen what's it called now? When you see a lion, right, and you see its children, those kids do not look like donkeys. A lion gives birth to lions. A tiger gives birth to tigers. When the lion of a tribe of Judah gives birth, it gives birth to lions. So everything that God has access to, everything that God is, he has birthed, not birthed, he birthed into us. And we are his. And we are his. One last thought, and I'm going to wrap this up here so we can go eat rice and just fellowship with family here. I didn't tell you how long it's going to take. I just said it's one last thought. The other thing that comes to mind, and I'm just going to, you know, end with this, is, you know, I talked about the symbolism when Abraham sacrificed his child. Because he didn't sacrifice him physically, but he did. Because he was right there in his obedience to God. When it also comes to the sacrifice of Jesus, the one thing that happened just prior was Jesus eating the meal, the Passover, with his disciples. And I'm thinking, the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Jesus giving his life. And there's a lot to unpack from Passover. So I'll say this afternoon when you get home, or tonight, or whenever, if you can read Exodus 53. I think that's 50. Yeah, Exodus 50. Nope. Exodus 12. So what had happened then is the children of Israel, they were under the oppression of the Egyptians, and they had been there so many years. And God had promised them, he always promised them, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to give you your own land. I'm going to give you your own place. You're going to flourish there. I'm going to give you a land that is beautiful, that's plenty, and all of that. And it came to a time when the time came. Someone says the time came. Someone said the time came. Y'all, you're not listening to me. When the time came that God told Moses that night, he told them, and says, it shall come to pass when ye come, 12, can you start from 1? 12:1. I'm not going to read it, but just put it there. So yeah, and he told them, hey, when the time came for deliverance, and it's the same as Jesus coming here. What Jesus did is he came to set us free from everything that held us bondage and held us back. The same way when God talked to Moses that night, the essence was to set him free from the physical enemy that was holding them back. That's the Egyptians. And preluding that, there were the plagues and all of that. But that night, he told them, and he gave them a command. He told them to go get lamb, and told them how to share that one household. If there's a lot of you, if you can eat, finish it. If you can't, get some other families with you, and, you know, don't waste anything. And he said some other things. He said, while you eat that lamb, when you kill the lamb, he says, mark your doorpost. So they are going to mark the lintel, that's the horizontal one, and the post there with blood. Why? Because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is called exemption. It's the same thing that the blood of Jesus does, even in greater measure. It's exemption. It's protection. That means we can call upon whatever that blood, whatever we've been promised in that blood, and see it come to fruition in our lives. Physical, spiritual, in our minds, in our souls, we are exempted. Same way they were exempted from that plague, we're exempted from the things that plague the world. I am not saying you won't experience them, but the Lord has promised us a way out. He's promised us health, healing, deliverance. He's promised us plenty, same we promised them back then. So, he said, when you eat it, have your belt on, have your shoes on. Why did he say that? So that they were going to be ready, because he was going to rock that deliverance that evening. And the word that comes there is sudden. It says, be prepared, because it's going to happen tonight. And what comes to mind is a few weeks ago, I think that was Delen, you talked about just saying yes. And when I was reading this, I'm like, oh man, you know what? I'm sure these guys, they had heard this promise for years. And they're like, oh, it will happen someday, it will happen someday, it will happen someday. But that night, God said, hey, it's happening tonight. Ready or not? Ready or not? And all that they needed to get this deliverance was obedience. It wasn't preparation. It wasn't, and if you didn't listen to that message, go find it. I think it was a month ago that, she had spoken that, so I'm not going to re-preach all of that. But what she had said was, you know, sometimes you're waiting for, on your marks, get set, go. And God says, on your marks, go. So that's what happened to these guys. He says, hey, tonight, you're going to eat, you're going to have that nice meal, and your sandals on, and when I tell you it's time, you're going to go. And that's what exactly happened. They went. And what she had said then was obedience and saying yes to the Lord, even when things don't look like we're fully ready or fully prepared to take on what God, the assignment God has given us. Because when God calls us, we are ready. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the physical. So that's what happened in that Passover there. They said, get ready, get prepared. They did that, and God did give them great deliverance from slavery and from bondage. But they needed to obey and to take a step. So this morning, what is your revelation of the death? And not only the death, the empty grave of Christ. What revelation do you have? Is it just an event to you? And I asked myself that question yesterday. Is it an event? Or is it like the greatest thing that happened ever to me for my deliverance, to set me free, to give me hope, to give me life, to give me health, to bring me into a relationship with the Lord? I know I am related to, I am connected to the God that holds the heavens and the earth. I am his representative here on earth. When I walk into my office, God has just literally walked in there. God is everywhere. I just saw some the expression on some faces there. God is everywhere. But I'm his representative. When I walk in there, he's there ready to do what he needs to do in that place. Because that's why he put me there. And I'm in there to say no to the things that should be said no to, and to say yes to the things that need to happen there. And I tell myself, but am I walking in that? Am I allowing myself to be that? In my home, it's the same thing. I'm in there to say no to the things that need to be said no to, and to say yes. Yes, Lord, when there's yes, Lord. That's why I said, again, you know, God's given us all these things. But it's our choice to say yes or to say no. And this morning, I asked myself, and, you know, because sometimes, especially in North America, we're so comfortable. Right. You have no idea. You have no idea what it takes for some people. Even here, if you look closely, right, if you get out of your bubble and listen to stories and walk up, you know, just talk to people on the streets, you have no idea what it means to know what you're going to have for lunch today. You have no idea what it means to know where you're going to lay your head the next 2-3 weeks. Even some of you, for the rest of your life, because your homes are paid for. You have no idea. And even those homes are paid for, go ask people that their homes burnt down overnight and lost everything. You have no idea. And we stay in this comfort of all these things, and we take for granted the sacrifice and the blood that was shed and his body that was broken because we have health insurance. You have no idea. It is high time we started getting back to this word. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Man, I love having health insurance. I love having food. I'd rather have food on my table than not. But we need to take a step back and appreciate the goodness that God's given us, right? And stretch ourselves, right? If we don't have to believe God for food, for lunch, we can help others that do not have that. We can believe and just stretch. We can do that. And that's where we need to be. If we're not believing God for healing and thank God for good health and all of that, we can stretch ourselves and stretch our faith for those that need healing and health. And we can look inside and examine ourselves and find places where we need to take a hold of God's promises personally, that we've thought, hey, you know what, maybe these things don't matter. And really, promises that God has given that we've kind of, maybe that doesn't matter because, I mean, I'm doing well in these other areas. And just laser focus and say, God, you said it here. I am going to see this. I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to let it go. It may be over a child. It may be over a spouse. It may be over a cousin. It may be over parents. Wherever it is, stretch. The Lord's sacrifice and his provision is effectual. That life is effectual. And it's time to start letting it tell physically. It's there in the spirit on earth as it is in heaven. And to start doing that. But I tell you guys, you have no idea. And I'm grateful for his goodness. And we need to just look back and be thankful for what he's done. And You notice in the Old Testament, I think this was, a lot of them, they set up markers. Abraham was a man that had almost everything you call other than a child, right? You know, and he was there trusting God and just stretching himself in that way, but in other ways. That's why when God did something, they put an altar there. It said, hey, it's what God has done. In my life, and I personally, for me, yesterday, I was saying, hey, Easter, I'm going to eat all the rice I can eat and the chicken and I can eat and all of that. But every year for myself, maybe not even wait up to a year, I want to ask myself, what have I made of God's grace in my life? What have I made of God's grace over me? And I'm going to close. I'm closing now by just saying this. This morning, I don't know what it is. I just want to speak into that again. I just had a feeling that this Passover or this Easter will mark a shift in what's happening in Ukraine, in Russia, and all of that. And as many of you have faith for that, I just want you to believe. And I didn't specifically see this about Nigeria, but I'm just trusting God. I'm just leaning on that and pulling it also. Because that situation needs intervention. Right? That situation does. And I'm just speaking into that nation right now that this season and this time will mark a shift in the spirit that will be seen physically, that we will experience there in the name of Jesus. So that's all I have. You guys go enjoy. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Communion. I almost forgot that. I was just thinking about the food and all that and lunch. Can ushers please come up? This is actually really important. And man, I got carried away with. I'm telling you guys, I was just thinking about lunch here. Can we just pass those elements? And thanks for spending Easter Sunday with me. I think I probably went over 15 minutes than I planned, but let's do this. And I trust the Lord that as we partake of the table this morning, that this will be a date that you will mark as a turnaround in your life here this morning. So if there's anything you're trusting the Lord about, it could be a relationship, it could be a child, a spouse, a situation with your job, a situation with your business, please just lay a hold on the covenant meal. The covenant meal today. Can we have the worship team up on stage here? His body, it was battered, like beaten and broken for us. And his blood was shed. And that blood is what gives us life. The life of Christ, that life that I said is indestructible. And Jesus said that every time we do this, to do in remembrance of him. This morning though, we all know how the story ended in the scripture. It just wasn't with suffering and being battered and being brutalized. We know on the third day that he rose. And in his rising, He dealt with everything that held us back. And this morning, as we partake of his body, I say everything that has held us back, everything that's limited us from being the best that God wants us to be, is dealt with once and for all. Once and for all. Can we just take his body? Let's take the bread. Take the bread. His body was broken for us because it was then the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. We have peace in Christ. We have peace in Christ. And this morning I just speak to every broken body, every brokenness. I say the broken body of Christ has brought wholeness to you. If you're in this place this morning, just trust the Lord that your body is made whole because his was broken. If you're watching by streaming, your body is made whole. I declare wholeness. I declare wholeness this morning because he was beaten and he was battered. You have been made whole. And let's take his blood. The life in his blood, the Bible says that the blood of Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel spoke revenge. The blood of Abel spoke bitterness. But the blood of Christ speaks healing. It speaks forgiveness. It speaks redemption. And this morning, Lord, we thank you because by your blood we are made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Everywhere that we've been battered in our minds, in our bodies, thank you because your blood makes us whole. Your blood makes us whole. And we speak healing here this morning. We speak healing here this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you for redemption. Thank you, Lord, for restoring our dignity. Thank you because in you we are complete. In you we are free. In you we are made whole. In the name of Jesus. Can we just rejoice in him this morning? Let's rejoice in him this morning. Let's rejoice, worship.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of life. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light. And I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. seed has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Can you leave the lyrics up there? Leave the lyrics. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Hallelujah. Let's just thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I say your week is blessed. You go in the power and the authority and the freedom that Christ gave on His cross. You are healed. You are made whole. Our families, we say, are secure. They are safe wherever they are. And we rejoice in the glorious light of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Go and just have a blessed week. And make God famous. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Glorious light. But there is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls the sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The save.